Thank you for your enthusiasm. You no longer own you. God owns you. So everything in your life, you're not an owner of, you're a steward of. I can remember a couple of different situations where my dad worked in the construction field. He was actually a pipe fitter and put gas lines into homes in Seattle. And he told me this later when he was teaching me how to be a steward of other people's stuff. He said, I lost a pipe wrench, and then I lost another one. When the owner of the company, I came in and said, I need another pipe wrench. He said, look at that pipe wrench belongs to me. And for me to imprint this upon you, you need to take tomorrow off without pay. Why? Because he was serious about my dad being a good steward of the tools that he was using that didn't belong to my dad. They belonged to the owner. Right? And so God is in that same position with us. It's like, Lord, I don't own anything. When you get to that place, it's really easy to give things away. It's really easy to be able to say, God, whatever you want. Now, when you really get a hold of this and you really take heart in this, you'll come to the place where you say, I trust God with everything. Because God has my back. If you can trust God, He has your back. He said He'd meet all of your needs, right? But we're trying to figure it out. What do I need to do? I can't give this away if God is telling me to give it away because I need it. The reality is, you don't own anything. You don't own your house, you don't own your car, you don't own anything. Last week we talked about relationships. God requires that we're good stewards of the relationships that we have. Right? That means I'm living my life out of what God requires of me concerning Him and concerning others. Come on. So I don't have a choice whether to love you or not. I'm commanded to love you. I don't have a choice whether to forgive you or not. I'm commanded to forgive you. And my life's not my own, so my opinion is not valid because His opinion is the only one that counts. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk to you about being a steward of your time. Stewardship of your time. Let's read this and then I'll make some comments. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. And I'll get there in just a second. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, Masters, give to your bondservants what is just, fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open a door for the word to speak the mystery for which I am also in chains, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. We're commanded to redeem the time. What does that mean? That means to purchase it back for the purpose that it was originally intended. Every one of us have the same amount of time in a day. Every one of us, 24 hours. You don't get 25 and I get 23. Every one of us have 24 hours in a day. Come on. Every one of us have 365 or, you know, sometimes different, but days in a year. Each one of us have the same amount of time that's offered to us, but are we using it for what God wants us to use it for? Statements like this. Somebody asks you to do something, I don't have time. Right? Or somebody, I wouldn't give them the time of day. Here's the deal. If you are in charge of your time, then God isn't. And we need to be stewards of the time that we have rather than just possessors of that time. I'll tell you, time is an interesting thing. Again, like I said, we all have the same amount of time, but it's very interesting that people use time differently. Years ago, it was really popular to have time management courses. Right? Everybody had a planner. I mean, if you went to one of those, you had one of these planners, and it wasn't like in hourly things. It was like in 5, 10, 15-minute planners. And this one guy, was a course I was teaching on, it was a pastor, and he said, I know what I'm going to be doing 3 months from now at 2 o'clock. Because he managed his time. He managed his time. We all have the same 24 hours in a day, but how are we managing it? And are we managing it according to what God has put on our hearts to do? I'm a steward of my time. I'm not an owner of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. And years ago, when I first got into the ministry, a man came through who was part of the ministry that I was involved with years ago. And he came in and he said, I was just very young. I was only associate pastor at the time. And he came to me, he said, if you want to get something done in the church, give it to the busiest person that you know. Give it to the man who's the busiest that you know. And you'd think, well, that doesn't seem right. Why? Because he's doing so much already, I should give it or find somebody who's not doing anything and give it to them. Doesn't that make more sense? But the reality is the person who's doing nothing isn't managing their time, and they won't make time to get done what God wants them to get done. But if you find somebody who's living for God and doing what God says to him, and you give him a task, he'll get it done in time, on time, at the right time. Why? Because he's a good steward of the time that God has given him. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. All of us need to be on time where God is concerned. We need to understand that I have a limited time on this earth. And I need to use my time wisely. God is looking at it. We're all going to be judged by what we do or don't do. And really what that is God's going to say, all right, I gave you this many years. I gave you this many months. I gave you this many days. I gave you this many hours. I gave you this many seconds. What did you do with my time? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I want to be a good steward of your time. So when you wake up in the morning, it's like, what time is it? It's time to find out what God wants me to do with my time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right? It's like, Lord, help me with my time. All right, go to Psalms 39. Psalm 39. I want all of us to just kind of reflect on, okay, God, how much time am I spending on what you want me to spend time on? And how much am I spending time on what I want to spend time on? And how much time am I spending on what the enemy is trying to manipulate me into spending time on? Come on. You know, no is a good word sometimes. No is a good word sometimes. It's like, no, that's not the best use of my time. Come on. God has that in our place. Has a place for us to be able to orchestrate and to take advantage of the time that we have. Psalm 39 verse 4 says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Those of us who are more mature, I'm not looking at anybody in particular, those of us that are more mature know this, that we were 20 yesterday, right? We were teenagers yesterday. It seems like, how did this happen? Right? My grandson came up to me the other day. He goes, "Grandpa, you've got one dark hair." When I was 20 years old, I had this afro that was this big, way back here, and it was bright, bright red. I mean, come on. Yes, I agree. It was awesome. But those days are gone forever. But since then and now, a lot of time has passed. And I wish I could tell you that I was a great stewardship of all of that time, but that would be a lie. But what am I going to do going forward? Come on. God, what do you want me to do with my time? It's a choice what we do with our time, but we've got to understand that all of my time is valuable to God. And I don't want to waste 1 second. Right? Now watch this. All of our time to make right choices for righteousness are only here on the earth. Right? Once we get to heaven, that's not going to be the case because there is no unrighteousness in heaven, right? So even the things, God, if I really want to do something of eternal value for people here on earth, the only time that I can do it is while I'm here on the earth. And I've only got a short time to do it. So I don't want to waste a second. Right? I don't want to waste a second. God, I want to be a good steward of the time that you've given to me. Right? 24 hours in a day. Right? 60 minutes in an hour. Are you with me? God, what do you want me to be doing right now? Because the second that I'm here adds up to the second right after that, and the minute right after that, and the minute right after that. God, what do you want me to be doing with my time? Right. How many of us have God ask us to pray, but we didn't have time? How many of us, come on, yeah, how many have asked us to worship, but we didn't have time? How many have asked us to do something for somebody else, but we didn't have time? And the reality is you had the time, you just weren't a steward of that time. I want to get to the place where, God, my time is not my time, but it's your time. So if you want me to do something, I'm going to do it. If you don't want me to do something, I'm not going to do it because I don't have time to do everything that you want me to. And if I don't use the time wisely that I have now, I'll never get it back. How many in your life, right, in your life, there are times that you wish you had back? Right? How many said, boy, if I had that to do over again, I would do something differently. Anybody? Well, that's gone. You could do nothing about the time that you wasted, nothing about the time that you might not have used right, nothing about the time that you said stuff that you wish you'd had back. But how about going forward? You know how that you influence the time that you have going forward? By managing the time you have now. I want to be a good steward of the time that I have. Because the time that I have is a gift that came from God for me to have while I walk on the earth. Glory to God. Go with me, and this will be an interesting one, but to Ecclesiastes. There's been songs written about this particular one. Chapter 3. To everything, there's a purpose. There's a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. God has given us time. God has given us purpose. The enemy steals our purpose. Did you know that? The enemy wants to steal what God created you for, what your original intent was for. How does he do that? Well, usually by people messing us up, or decisions that we make messing our own selves up. But it's, if we got it really down to the core thing, it's because Adam gave in to the devil back when he made a choice to use his time to go after what wasn't his. And God is saying, listen, there is a season, there is a time for everything. Look, let's just keep reading this. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit has a worker from that in which he labors? I have seen God given tasks with which the sons of men are occupied. I want to be occupied in my time with what God has for me. Right? Now here's what I know. Some would look at that and go, but if I give God all my time, then I won't have time for fun. I won't have time for pleasure. But I'm telling you, the living life out of God's time and doing what He wants you to is where you're going to have the most joy, period. Right? It may not seem like it while you're being pressed through some things. Right? Janine spoke a message on Wednesday night about sifting, that God sifts us. And I don't like to be sifted. Right? It's not fun, but I like the results of it. So I have to give God the time that is going to be required of me to get to the place where His purposes for me are being fulfilled. Someone said, well, my time is just about up. What good am I to God? If you're breathing, then God has a purpose for you. But you have to give your time to that purpose. What is that? Has He asked you to pray? Has He asked you to intercede? Has He asked you to do something for Him? Now watch this. We will get our time stolen from us when we get to the place where we're feeling sorry for ourselves, where we're allowing the enemy to push us in directions that we're not supposed to go in. We've got to understand that He's the thief. And He wants to steal the time that God has purposed for you to do something valuable for His kingdom. He wants to do it through your time. Am I a steward of the time that God has given to me? Or am I just, well, you know, life just happens. Life doesn't just happen if you become a steward of your time. God, what is it that You'd have me to do? What do You want me to do today? What do You want me to do right now? Lord, what is it that You have for me? Go to John chapter 7. This is an interesting story. You'll recognize it as we read it. But in John chapter 7, Jesus has a different perspective of time than other folks do. Verse 1 says, now when He concluded all of His sayings in the hearing... Oh, excuse me, I'm in the wrong one. I said John and I read Luke. It happens. Glory to God. John chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacle was at hand, and his brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you are doing." Now watch this. His brothers said, "Listen, you need to go over here because it's time for the other people to see what God would have you do and what God would do through you." Verse 4. "For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourselves to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." What's he saying here? He's saying, my time is dictated by what my Father tells me. Your time is all the time because you just do whatever feels right. You do whatever you want to do. You do whatever seems right to you in your own mind. And Jesus says, that's not how I operate. I operate in his time. If I'm going to be a steward of God's time, then I have to spend a lot of time with him, hearing his voice and following after what he's put on my heart to do. Come on. Because there are some things that I want to do that I can't do because I'm a steward of his time. There's places that I might want to go, but I can't go because I'm a steward of his time. But if you've never been in a situation where you felt like God wants me to do this, but I don't have time, then you're not a good steward of his time. Again, listen to verse 6. "And Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is already. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of its works are evil. You go up to the feast, and I am not yet going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come." See, there's a thing about waiting on God to find out his timing for our lives and for us to walk in the stewardship of the time that he's given us. Now, I've in the past few months, the brevity of life has really become very aware to me. In the last probably 7 weeks now, I've had two of my good friends growing up that both passed away. And one of them was kind of, it was cancer, was drawn out, you kind of knew it was coming. But Gary, he was talking to me one day, had a heart attack the next day, he's gone. He's out of time. His time is up. He can do nothing about his time because it's gone. Now he's in heaven. Come on, he's in heaven. He's rejoicing. He's having a good time. I mean, he's having a great experience in heaven. He would not want to come back, right? But I want to be in such a place where God, I need to be a good steward of the time that I have here. So Lord, speak to my heart so that I can be used by you in a more proficient manner. Jesus said something in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Lord, I don't want this cup. In fact, if there's any way, God, that there's any other avenue that we can take to make this happen, I would rather take that. But nevertheless, Lord, your will and not my will be done." See, that's how we have to be with our time. God, what is it that you want me to do? Do I think that you need to pray about every minute that you do, every second that you do? Well, not in a specific, but in a general term, yes. It's like this. If I have a goal that I want to, like we're in the process of going through permitting to build a house, if I have a goal for that house to be permitted, I need to set a timeline, and then I have to do certain things on time in order for that to be built when I want it to be built. So if I say, well, I'm going to build that in 3 months, but I don't take care of the thing that I need to right now, that 3 months will come and go because I didn't take good care of the time right now. So it's like, God, I want to live in the macro, but I need to step in my time in the micro. Help me, Lord, to know what is our time. We read a verse and we say it every week. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely. In order to be there, you have to be cognizant of what you're thinking right now. Right this second, we have to be stewards of our mind in this second. I need to be a good steward of what God has given me. And everything that I have, even the breath of my lungs, is because He's given it to me. Come on. But if I'm a good steward of this second, then when I get to the other side, I'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or as I've said many times during these last few weeks, "Well done, thou good and faithful steward." I want to be a good steward of God. Go with me to Romans chapter 13. The book of Romans in the 13th chapter. By no means am I trying to put anyone under condemnation about this, but what I'm trying to do is remind us that our time is precious before God. That our time before God matters. What I do with my time matters. If I want to please God, then I have to be present in this time doing what I know I should be doing and not wasting my time on things that aren't valuable to Him. What do I mean? I can't waste time being bitter at somebody. I can't waste time being jealous of somebody. I can't waste my time worrying about what happened yesterday. See, that's a waste of His time. That's not a waste of my time. That's a waste of His time. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Let me read that to you again. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of our sleep. I think God wants to shake us sometimes and say, wake up. Wake up. You're living in fear. Wake up. You're living in bitterness. Wake up. You're living in doubt. Wake up. You're living in less than what I have planned for you. Wake up. And I love this part of it. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You know, that's true. I'm closer to being with Jesus face to face than I was the day I got saved. Right? But what am I going to do for Him right now? What is it that He wants for me to do right now? Glory to God. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as is in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill His lust. Why? Because I don't have time for that. If I'm going to be a steward of God, I don't have time for that. I don't have time. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 1. We could just probably read the whole thing. But therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. When? Right now? How about tomorrow? What does it mean to be an imitator? Look like him, do, you know, whatever. I mean, act like him. And watch this. You begin to take on characteristics of those that you're around the most. It's amazing to me. I was in Tulsa for just a couple of years, but I purposefully, to kind of get my dad, I picked up a little bit of an accent while I was there. You know. In fact, I came home for Christmas one year that I was down. It was probably 2.5 years. But I bought some boots and a hat, cowboy hat. So out of character for me. I didn't walk bow-legged. I'll just say that. That takes time, right? That takes time to work that up. But you take on the characteristics of the people that you're around. So if you want to be an imitator of God, you got to hang with him. When? Yeah, but I've got to go to work. I've got to go to school. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do... No, you have time. You have time. But you have to make it a priority. I want to hang with God because I want to be like him. Verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. Right? If we want what God wants for us, then I have to have time for what he wants for me to do. And I need to be a steward of that time. And in being a steward of the time, I need to make a priority out of what I'm allowing myself to do or not do with the time that I have. If I'm a steward, then I'm going to prioritize what I have time for. Do I have time to be with God? Yes. Do I have time to walk in love? Yes, yes, yes. But I have to do it on purpose. Glory to God. Here's the thing about time. You can learn to do a lot of things if you'll take the time to learn. You don't want me playing the guitar because I haven't taken the time to learn it. But if I spent the time required, I could probably play the guitar. But it's never been a big enough priority for me to play the guitar, or I would have taken the time to do it. Whatever time it took, I would have taken that time because I felt like God purposed me to play the guitar to be a worshiper. That's not the case for me. But what he has purposed in my heart to do is to talk to him, to listen to him, to hear his voice, and to do what he's put on my heart. He has put on my heart years and years, even before I was saved, to be in the ministry and to be a pastor. And so I purposed to do that. I spent the time, when I got saved and walking with the Lord, I said, I need to set aside some time. I need to go to Bible school. There was an absolute need for me to go and get away to put the time in for the purpose that God created for me. Right? And so if we'll take time and discipline ourselves to that time, we can achieve whatever God has for us. But you'll never achieve what God has for you, the purpose that he has for you, if you don't prioritize your time to get where he wants you to be. Right? Man, one person came up to Marilyn Hickey. Does everybody know who she is? Fabulous teacher of the Word of God. And she spends a lot of time in the Word of God. She's memorized the whole book of Psalms. She's memorized many, 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 many books of the Bible. Memorized them so she can just quote them to you. She didn't do that by not taking time. God put that on her heart, and she prioritized the time to do it. So anyway, this person came up to her. I don't know if it was a man or a woman. They said, pray for me. I want your anointing to teach. She said, well, here's what I'll do. I want you to come back after a year that you've spent 8 hours a day, 7 days a week studying your Bible. And then I'll pray for you. In other words, the anointing takes time to produce in your life. There's gifting that's given to you that you can operate in. Right? There's gifting. If a person is gifted to sing, they can sing. But if they want to sing at a really high level, then they have to prioritize their time to do what God's called them to do, to go to the right level. So what I'm saying is, are we being stewards of what God's called us to do? Or are we letting the enemy steal our time? Are we walking in love because he's asked us to walk in love? Now go down to verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Now let's go verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See that you walk circumspectly. Or circumspectly, it means carefully. Walk purposefully. Walk with a plan. Walk like you're supposed to walk. Walk the way you should walk. Don't have the attitude, well, you know, God loves me, I can do whatever I want. You can. And he does. But you're not going to fulfill, and you're not going to be a steward of his time if you're walking that way. You got to be, well, I love this. Then see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How many likes to be a fool? How many just love to be a fool? Nobody does. Have you ever read the book of Proverbs? You should read it every day. But if you've never read the book of Proverbs, go. It talks a lot about fools. It talks about the wise and it talks about fools. I want to be wise. How many want to be wise? How many like being a fool? Right? Now watch what he says. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You've got to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. In other words, if you just let time happen, the result's probably going to be fool. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Lord, I just love this. I love this. But I want to be wise in his sight. I've got to use my time and walk in it in a redeeming fashion. In other words, I need to walk on purpose. With purpose, doing what I know to do, even if it hurts. Come on. I mean, if you're honest with me, how many know that there are some things in your life that you're doing that you probably shouldn't be doing? Well, right? Right? And what are you doing? You're not redeeming the time. God wants you to redeem that time. God wants you to stop it, not because he's trying to ruin your party. He wants you to stop it because it's hurting you. And it's not producing in you the eternal purpose that he has for your life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Therefore, do not be unwise. How are you unwise? You're not redeeming your time. You're not living your life out of the redemptive plan that God has for you. Therefore, do not be unwise, but do what the will of the Lord is. Do what the Lord will is. Let's go and watch this. He said, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? How many would love just to be filled with the Spirit all the time? Now, when we think about that from our circles in the charismatic, Pentecostal realm, we think about, I'm filled with the Spirit and I pray in tongues, and that's wonderful. That's awesome. Not necessarily what this is talking about, but that's wonderful. This particular verse, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The word be filled in the Greek has a tense that English doesn't have, and it's be being filled. On a constant, consistent, purposeful journey, be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. How can you be being filled with the Spirit if you're not a steward of the time that God has given you? Right? So it's, Lord, I have to choose right now to be filled with the Spirit. I have to be choosing right now. Pastor, come pray for me and lay hands on me. I want to feel that again. I want to feel like God is with me. I want to feel it. Oh, I want the goosebumps. I want the laughter. I want the whatever. I want to be slain in the Spirit again. That's awesome. I love all of those experiences. I've had them. I've been drunk in the Spirit. I mean drunk in the Spirit. Where I wasn't responsible for necessarily everything I said. I've been drunk with wine before too, but drunk in the Spirit is much better. Much better. There's no hangover. Well, there is kind of. But it's a good hangover, right? Because it keeps with you till the next day. Watch this. Listen to this. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, if we want to use God's time and if we want to be filled with His Spirit and be productive in that time, then we have to make a choice to do some things. Are we filling our minds with our own thoughts? How bad things are? Oh my God, I listened to the news last night. You aren't going to believe it. Right? I listened to this one, they said this, and I listened to this one, and they said that, and oh my God, the conspiracy theory. Now everything is horrible. Stop it! Quit wasting your time. And become a steward of His time. How? By speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He should be on our mind all the time. We should look at our life through the lens of, if God is with me, what difference does this make? If God is for me, then why am I afraid of this? Or why am... Come on. My time is too valuable to be worried about what's going to happen 10 years from now when God has me in His hands right now. I'm not saying we shouldn't be goal-oriented, but I don't have time to give in to the fear that people are spewing. I need to get in and begin to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This pastor, I mean, he's a leader of leaders. He's really an awesome guy. He said, if you're around me, he said, and he had some people with him that were around him. He said, no, they'll testify of it. If you're around me, you're always hearing one of two things. When I'm walking by myself, when I'm by myself, or you're just looking at me, I'm either praying in the Spirit or I'm singing a hymn. Always. 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 Why? Because time is involved in your always. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I want to be filled with the Spirit, then I always have to be with Him. How am I with Him? I love you, Lord, and so I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Come on. We just redeemed that time. Are you listening to me? Come on. Yes, sir. Do you have something? Yeah, come on. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. In worship today, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, as a body, we are in transition.
Yeah.
And then immediately I thought, duh. But that's not what he meant.
Yeah.
We are in the on the edge of transitioning into a new level of spirituality.
Come on.
Now, I'm talking biblical spirituality,
yeah.
Not touchy-feely spirituality. I'm saying God will do what He will with who is willing.
Come on.
In whatever way He chooses.
Amen.